Welcome to Grace Chapel, where the Word of God is not bound by religion, tradition, denomination, or political correctness.
If you want to end the excuse of lack of commitment, it starts with this. Understanding that commitment is what is required to follow Christ. Not saying a prayer. There's more to it than saying the prayer. You have to understand what they're signing up for. What are they committing their lives to? To follow King Jesus at all costs and against all opposition. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 35. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What Christ is calling us to as a follower of him is full commitment to King Jesus and to the kingdom of God. That's what he's calling you to. It's not easy faith. It's not easy believism. He's calling you to full commitment, to deny yourself. Once you are in the kingdom of God, once you repent of your sin and you place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, you learn to live a life of self-denial. It is no longer about your plans. It is no longer about your agendas. It's no longer about your dreams. It's no longer about your goals. It's about following Jesus Christ. In American church, we have this backwards. We want to dream our dreams and we want to write our vision statements and then we pray God bless it. We want God on our side. We don't ever think about being on God's side. But if you're really committed to the kingdom and to King Jesus, then you live a life of self-denial. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. So you deny yourself, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And then you take up your cross. What is that? Well, contrary to today's, you know, viewpoint on the cross, we paint them. We make them really nice. We put them up on our buildings. We put them in our homes, and they're probably in your dining room somewhere. The reality is, in the New Testament time when this was being written, they had a different understanding of the cross. It wasn't a beautiful piece of art. It was a symbol of death. The implication is that you deny yourself, you take up your cross, you die to yourself and follow Jesus.
Now let's join Pastor Jason Murphy for part two of the message, Excuses That Are Lacking.
Here's another way that you end the excuse of lack of commitment. Remember, number one, understand commitment's what is required of you. That's like Christianity 101. The second thing is this, develop an eternal perspective. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36, 37, it reads, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" The idea is, stop living for the pleasures of the right here and right now. Amen. And whenever you live with eternity in mind, you find yourself reprioritizing your life. And you find yourself advancing the kingdom of God just by everyday living, because now you understand the eternal perspectives of what you do on the mundane every day. One of the dangers of the Pentecostal charismatic movement is that we rightfully believe that God works miracles and God does supernatural things every day. And we want that. We hunger that because we've tasted it. We've seen it. But we forget that God also moved in the less spectacular ways, but it's still supernatural. Let me give you a thought. When children of Israel were getting ready to go into Canaan, they had manna. Every morning it was as if God said, "Here's your food." And it was good. When they went into the promised land, you would have thought God would have upped the ante. In the desert, man, their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals. Can you imagine traveling in the desert and your clothes didn't wear out? What's even more, it's over 40 years. You didn't gain enough weight that you can still fit in those clothes? Did God keep you slim or did he expand their clothes? Those are questions I have. I know I'm weird. You don't have to think like that. Regardless, the clothes still fit. And he gave you food, water out of a rock, man. You think, man, we traveled to the desert because it's the promise that we're going to conquer Canaan. Like, that is ours. God gave it to us. We're going to kill the giants and everything. And you would thought, man, miracles are about to just like go out the roof. Instead, they planted corn and the manna ceased. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, what? It's less spectacular, but still supernatural because they couldn't make the corn grow. And neither can you. Now we work, right? We work the fields. We know to do what God taught us to do, use our minds and our abilities. But at the end of the day, he's the only one that can make that grow. Here's the thing. As you progress in your Christian faith, God equips you and empowers you to work with him in the kingdom. He's still doing the supernatural stuff. It's just not as spectacular to you. When you develop that worldview and that mentality, all of a sudden, What you do every day on the mundane, you see God is actually in it supernaturally to advance his kingdom. And when need be, he'll work a supernatural, spectacular miracle. And then you go back to planting corn. Because that's how the nature of the kingdom works. Raising your kids, raising your grandkids, takes on new significance when you have an eternal perspective. Going to work every day takes on a new significance when you have an eternal perspective. Talking to your neighbor across the street all of a sudden takes on a new significance whenever you have an eternal perspective, because God is using all of that to advance his kingdom. And thirdly, you understand that a lack of commitment is in essence a denial of Christ. Right? We're talking about the first big excuse. Lord, I'll follow you. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Commitment. If you're going to follow me, you must be committed. So the way that you make sure that you're ending that lack of commitment in your life is to have an eternal perspective, be fully committed to Christ, and then understand that a lack of commitment is really a denial of Jesus. Listen to what he said in Mark 8, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Woo! Lack of commitment. Ashamed. Yeah, I go to church, but I'm not one of those Christians. I don't really believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I go to church, but I'm not one of those Christians like they think homosexuality is a sin. Or they don't think Muslims worship the same God we do. Homosexuality is a sin, and Muslims don't worship the same God we do. Because the Bible clearly reveals that to us. To lack commitment. Listen to me. Listen. Somebody can hear the gospel for the first time, repent of their sin and come into the kingdom of God, and not know anything about the Bible. And they can truly be saved. And we have to disciple them. Lack of understanding is different than lack of commitment. For someone to know what the Bible says, but yet refuse to commit to it or to the king, is then in denial of Jesus. What Mark 8, 38 says, and by the way, Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, in context, Revelation 21 is when Christ makes all things new. And he talks about what it would be like in the eternal perfect state, or what we call heaven. And then he says, but outside, and he lists the people, and it's not an exhaustive list, but I mean, he gives some broad categories of people who won't enter heaven and won't enter the kingdom of God. And listen to what he starts with. The cowardly. I mean, if it were me, there would have been a whole bunch of other things that I would have listed first. But not Jesus. What is that? Who are cowards? People that were ashamed of Jesus. People who lack commitment to the king and to advancing the kingdom of God are cowards. Let that sit in for a second. That's what ultimately is heaven's position on those who lack commitment. They are considered cowards and faithless. Are you searching your heart? Because see, I had to search mine writing the sermon. Because we say, oh yeah, man, I'm committed. I go to church. Well, so does the seed of Satan. Right? For example, Jesus gives a parable. In the wheat field, there are wheat and there are tares. And then Jesus goes on to define what that is. He says that the wheat were the sons of God and the tares were the sons of Satan or sons of devil. So in the wheat field at Grace Chapel, there are sons of God and sons of Satan sitting side by side on the same church pew. Woo! Don't look to your neighbor. It's okay. I know right now you're questioning. I wonder. If you're truly saved, you attend church, but just because you attend church doesn't make you saved. In Luke chapter 9, in the next part of the passage, we're introduced to the second man who gives us the second excuse of why many people don't fully commit to the kingdom and to the king. All right, the first one was lack of commitment. The second one is lack of urgency. Lack of urgency.
Now, there is a difference between the first guy and the second guy. The first guy comes up to Jesus, right? He's like, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. The second guy, Jesus approaches. This is interesting. He says, hey, follow me. And the second guy responds, verse 59. He says, hey, follow me. And the man says, well, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And then Jesus responds, I believe in verse 60, he says, lead the dead to bury their own dead, but as far as you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, at first glance, that seems kind of heartless, doesn't it? Hey, dude, Jesus lacks compassion. No, man, you got to keep the whole gospel in mind. Jesus was a man full of compassion. The reason why it appears that he lacked compassion in this issue is because the man is lying to him. Number one, his father wasn't dead, or the guy wouldn't have been in the crowd, right? Because as a family member in that particular time in which this was written, if someone died, like they had the funeral that day, right? And he would have more than likely taken care of the burial already. The reality is the original language, the man worded something like this. My father's on his deathbed. I want to go see him. I'll go spend some time with him. And then when he dies, I will bury him. And then I'll take care of some business. And then I'll come follow you. And Jesus says, lead the dead to bury their own dead. As far as you're concerned, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You see, again, go back to my opening in John chapter 2, where people believed in the signs, but Jesus didn't entrust himself to them. So it is here. He approached this guy and said, follow me. The guy said, I'm going to go do this. Jesus knew that it was a lie, that it was an excuse. He said, no, you let them bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The reason is because Jesus knew this man was really lacking urgency. He was saying what so many people in our church and in our culture says today. For example, there are many people who lack urgency. They fail to fully commit to the king and to his kingdom, and they have the excuse of they have other things to do before they fully commit. It's kind of like saying, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me do what I want to do for a little while, and then I'll fully commit to you. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to go to college. I want to party. And then I'll fully commit to you. How about this one? You've all prayed this, so we got to keep this kind of in balance. Lord, I want to get married first. I want to experience that. And then I'll follow you. Or when my children leave home, I'll have all kind of time. I'll follow you. Or when I make enough money. Yeah, that's it. When I make enough money and I have my nice little nest egg and I can retire comfortably, and then I'll follow you. But the truth of the matter is this. The person did not fully commit to the king and to the kingdom because he lacked the urgency. He thought, oh, I'll always have time. I'll always have time. If that's you, how do you deal with that? It's pretty simple. The time to serve God is right now. Right now. This is why Jesus said, lead the dead to bury their own dead. In other words, stop making excuses. Now's the time. Life is too short not to be about the Father's business. In fact, you're not promised tomorrow. Reality is you're not promised your next breath. Psalm 103, verses 15 through 16 reads, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. How about James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14? James says it this way. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. I'm going to go make some money and then I'll follow you. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are mist. It appears for a little time and then vanishes. Listen, as a pastor, 20-something years, I've buried one-day-old babies, and I've buried people over 100. You're not promised tomorrow. The time to serve God is now. He has you here now. Quit making excuses and quit wasting time. Jesus understood the urgency of the moment. In his earthly ministry, listen to what he said in John chapter 4 and verse 35. This is after witnessing to the woman at the well, right, in John 4. He makes this statement. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Where I grew up, cotton was king. And as far as you can see, just cotton fields everywhere. Man, you know when it's getting close to harvest. See, I grew up in Louisiana. If it went 105 degrees with 102% humidity, you would think it was snow. I mean, it was nothing but just white fields. But you knew when that harvest time was coming. If you grew up there. Matter of fact, I pastored my first church in Louisiana. And typically around October or so, my attendance went down, but my finances went up. We were pulling the crops out of the field, right? In the kingdom of God, it's always October. It's always harvest time. If you just look around, there are people ready to be harvested. Don't say, tomorrow I'll say something to them. When the Holy Spirit is prompting you, do it now. Because that's when the Holy Spirit's moving. Don't put off till tomorrow. You may not be here. They may not be here. Jesus, in John chapter 9, the Gospel of John chapter 9, after he healed the man that was born blind, remember that? He made this statement. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Now, Jesus was communicating the urgency of the moment. Now, go work the works of the kingdom of God. Now. Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. Now look, obviously Jesus wasn't saying, go leave your spouse. Right? Amen, preacher. That's part of a biblical worldview. You don't leave your spouse. What he was getting at was, hey, keep things in its proper perspective. Realize that everything that you're doing is really about advancing the kingdom of God. Even your marriage, even raising your children, even where you work is really about advancing the kingdom of God. So quit getting caught up in the moment. Like you're only living for the right now just to please yourself. But zoom out and see the big picture that everything that you're doing is really about advancing the kingdom of God. And develop that urgency. Now, because the appointed time has grown very short. So like now. Like right now. Like you ought to be getting up running outside right now. As I say right now. Like that's where we are. Okay? Life is short. It really is. Like I said, I've buried one-day-old babies and I've buried over a 100-year-old person. But even that person who lived 100, that's nothing. That's a drop in a bucket. Compared to eternity. So life is short. And life is meaningless if it's not filled with serving the King. And when you serve the King, then everything is filled with meaning, including changing the diapers and doing homework with the kids. And mamas, every science project you did for the kid, and you lied and said the kid did it, is filled with meaning. Because you're preparing the future who will advance the kingdom of God. We must be focused on kingdom things and kingdom business. We must serve him while there is time to serve him. And in so doing, according to Jude, he uses us to even snatch people out of the fire. Or in Esther 4, to stop the plans of wickedness so that the kingdom of God prevails. Now's the time. You are here now. God placed you here now to serve him. Amen. And amen. In this lesson, I address those who have been wrestling, struggling with the excuses for not fully committing to the king and to advancing his kingdom. But I think if we really took inventory, if we could really drill down, we would see that all of the excuses that people have really come down to three things. We talked about two of them. They lack commitment or they lack the urgency. And if you lack commitment, you need to understand this is what Christ has called you to. It is a life of self-denial. It is a life of taking up the cross. It is a life to following Jesus. It is to experience life of trials and tribulations and struggles. But not all the time. There are times that there's blessings and there's joy and there's the peace of the Holy Spirit. There's the gifts of the Spirit that operate you and God's divine provision. And then God gives you family members in the church and God blesses you with relationships that far exceed the trials and troubles that you go through. But we can't deny that they're there. And so he's called you to commitment. And those who endure to the end will be saved. And then we have to develop an eternal perspective. Like everything that you do is filled with meaning when it's in service to the King of Kings. Even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel or even understand that what you're doing has an eternal significance, it does. It's filled with meaning when it's in service to the King of Kings. And to lack commitment is to deny Christ. The other excuse is a lack of urgency, and I belabor that point, like right now. You cannot wait. Now's the time. Now's the time to serve God. Now's the time to be involved. Now's the time to pray. Now's the time to witness. Now's the time to evangelize. Now's the time to advance the kingdom of God. So I don't know where you fall in that. So maybe this doesn't apply to you. Or maybe you realize as I'm preaching this message, see that in American church. They really do. They lack commitment. The American church lacks commitment. And we certainly don't see the urgency. We're too busy with what we're going to eat after service and what football game we're going to watch. So before we dismiss today, I just challenge you to find a place to pray and ask God to search your heart. If there's any lack of commitment, there's lack of urgency, that he would reveal that to you, that you would repent of it, and that you would serve Christ. Or maybe you want to pray for the church in America. Maybe you need to find a place to pray. Just begin to pray for the Christians in America, that God would reveal to them they need commitment. They need to understand the hour in which we live. They need to understand the urgency and serve God, like right now. Let's pray for one another, and let's pray for a revival in the American church. Commitment, that's what you're called to. Life is short. Like today, be about the Father's business. Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. I thank you, Lord, that they had ears to hear. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take the words that were spoken today and you would pierce their hearts, that you would penetrate their spirit, Lord, endue them and empower them with your spirit to advance the kingdom of God. Whether we are receiving manna or we're planting corn, may we realize that it's still supernatural, that you're still moving on our behalf, and that we are partnering with you to advance the kingdom of God on this earth until you return. It's in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Grace Chapel. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason Murphy continues this message with Excuses That Are Lacking, Part 3. For more information about Grace Chapel, please visit our website, ColliervilleGraceChapel.org. That's ColliervilleGraceChapel.org. We invite you to attend our services in person here at Grace Chapel. Grace Chapel is located at 730 South Byhalia Road. That's 730 South Byhalia Road, Collierville, Tennessee. Service times are Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We look forward to meeting you at Grace Chapel, proclaiming grace, transforming culture.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.